Hi, this is Linda Popke, and welcome to our teleseminar, Standing Out from the Crowd, Strategies to Build Thought Leadership. I'm the president of L2M Associates, and I'm pleased to be here talking with you today about this important subject. Here's what we're going to talk about: why thought leadership is so important, how marketing can help you build thought leadership. We'll also look at some examples of how various size organizations have been successful at building thought leadership. And we'll help you identify next steps that you may want to create and implement to create a thought leadership program for you and your organization. So thank you for joining us today. To start with, let's talk about what do we mean by thought leadership. And doing some research, this term was first used in 1994 by Joel Kurtzman, who at the time was editor-in-chief of the magazine Strategy and Business. He used it to designate interview subjects for the magazine who had contributed new thoughts to business. So among the first people he identified as thought leaders were British management thinker Charles Handy, Stanford economist Paul Romer, Mitsubishi president Minoru Makihara, University of Michigan strategist C.K. Prahalad, and co-author Gary Hamel, a professor at the London Business School. So those are the types of people that originally were limited to being thought leaders. Now, as time has evolved, the definition has evolved as well. If you go to Wikipedia, they talk about thought leadership as a type of jargon used to describe a futurist or a person who's recognized among peers and mentors for innovative ideas, someone who demonstrates the competence to promote or share those ideas as actionable and distilled insights. And it's come to mean someone who enlivens old processes with new ideas. As a result, they mention there are thought leaders in the sciences, humanities, and even in government. So if we think about thought leadership and really look at how the definition has evolved, it's a way for you really to differentiate yourself. And again, I like the idea of bringing new ideas to old processes, to perhaps existing disciplines that people have been talking about for years. And it's a way for you to stand out from all those other individuals who are part of that bigger crowd. So let's talk about why do we need to build thought leadership. And first is, it is crowded out there. There's many, many organizations, many, many individuals with too many messages, too many media, and too much clutter. We just hear all of this noise all of the time, particularly with all the new media technology that's available. In that case, you need to take control. You want to be able to stand out. You want to be able to control the messages that are being said about you, about your organization, even about the area of expertise that you have or the discipline that you're involved with. And here's the story. We need to blow our own horns. If we don't do it, other people will do it for us. And they'll position us. And it may not be the positioning that we like. They may push us over to the side, and they may take that position of thought leadership. Your target audience is busy, and they're being overwhelmed by messages coming at them all the time. So you want to make it easier for them to see the value of you and your organization. Thought leadership really allows you to build a leverage and really use your marketing dollars much more effectively. Now, if we look at what's going on in the world, the bad news is the economy is still not totally recovered. People are still out of work. There's financial turmoil. There's high unemployment rate. The market's a little bit up and down with all kinds of news kind of sending things in both directions. And that situation isn't going to change. At least not in the short term. So rather than say, gee, things aren't good now, let's wait, the good news is that people are still purchasing, opportunities still abound. There is a chance to get out above all that, particularly while some of your competitors or other individuals in the field are perhaps distracted. So really what you want to do is find out how you can stand above the crowd. Now, to do that, let's talk about, and we talk about thought leadership. I also want to give you the definition of leadership, which is really the position or function of a leader, the ability to lead, to act, to guide, to direct. And that's really what you want to do when we talk about thought leadership. Now, why is it so important for you to be seen as a leader? There are several reasons. First, leaders are more likely to have name recognition. So we know the leaders in a particular industry. We don't know number two, and it's very, very unlikely that we're going to know number three, four, or five. So if you are seen as a leader, no matter what area it's in, if it's a consulting specialty, if it's a business area, if it's professional services, if it's a nonprofit area, people are more likely to know the name of number one as the leader. the leader is more likely to have credibility. And, you know, for example, if Apple comes out and says something, people are more likely to believe what they say as opposed to a new upstart that may be doing some really interesting technology, but we've never heard of them. Same thing if it's Google, same thing if it's someone who is an individual in the field. In the consulting world, Alan Weiss is seen as a leader. In the coaching world, Marshall Goldsmith is seen as a leader. In the speaking world, Patricia Fripp is seen as a leader. So you look at these people who are seen as leaders, and when they say something, people listen to them. Being a leader allows you to work from a position of strength. It allows you to start with the presumption that you know what you're talking about, you got there, and you are a leader for a reason, and that people should listen to you. This also lets you establish your turf or your territory, so to speak, and defend against invaders, defend against other people who say, well, that's not right. There's a new theory that's better. And certainly there are always people trying to come up with new ideas and new theories, but the leader is the one that they're positioning against. So you always want to be the leader, and that's true as much in ideas as it is in market share. Now let's talk about how you would build a strategy. So the key steps in marketing yourself as a thought leader is first to identify your audience and really understand who you're talking to. And that's not just to say it's a particular industry or it's a particular job title or type of individual, but understand who they are and what their needs are. So why would they be looking for information about this topic? What is it that is out there today, and what is it that isn't there that you might be able to help and to fill in with? So you want to position your message and your content to fit what the audience is looking for and really what their needs are. But you also want to package and promote yourself and differentiate yourself. What makes you different from everybody talking about leadership, everybody talking about marketing, everybody talking about any of the things that are going on there, global issues, any type of green technology, whatever the issues are that people are talking about, sustainability, diversity, human resource issues, no matter what the issue is, you want to make sure that what you say is different and perhaps controversial a little bit so that you get attention. You also want to have a way to measure your success, and that's extremely important because you want to be able to look and say, what have we done? Where were we when we started? And how can we tell whether we're making progress? What are the steps that we can take? And we'll talk about that in a moment. So first, to establish your target audience, you want to know who you're thinking about, who you're talking to. What is it that they care about? What's important to them? What keeps them up at night? What are those issues? Where do you find them and where do they find you? So where do they go for information? Where do they look or who do they talk to establish views and find out what's going on with trends? When is it that they're looking for this? Is there a particular time? If you're talking about tax information, for example, there may be some, there's certainly different cycles in the year where information ebbs and flows around the tax cycle. If you're talking about information around certain industries, there may be certain times of the year when that happens as well. Is there a time that they're looking for this type of information? Is there a cycle about that? And how do they find it? You know, how do they go and get this? Do they ask people? Do they ask individual decision makers or influencers or people that they trust? Do they read business press? Do they go to events? And if so, which ones do they go to? Do they belong to associations? So you really want to understand your target audience, and then you want to think like them. So you want to ask, if this were me, how would I want to be reached? What works to reach them, and what doesn't work? What don't I listen to? What would they not listen to? What would they respond to? Who would they respond to? And from there, you can start to understand and make sure that you're positioning this to the audience that you want to reach. And I think that's important because too often we think about, gee, we have expertise in an area, and we can just go out and tell everybody how good we are. And that's certainly a good thing to do. However, people aren't listening because you're good at what you say. They're listening because you have a message that's relevant to them, and there's some value to you, to them and what you say. So you need to understand who your audience is. Now, as far as the message, you want to be very clear on what you want to communicate. So understand what it is you want to say. Keep it high level. Don't get into too many of the gory details, too much jargon, too much down that path, because you really want to be seen as taking the high road here and really having this leadership area. Then you need to be able to back that up. So you certainly want to have the credentials. You want to perhaps have additional information that points people into additional details. But for the thought leadership perspective, keep it high level and choose a message with staying power. Make sure that you have something that isn't going to be obsoleted in 3 months, 6 months, or even a year, but it's a message that's going to be reinforced over time. Once you do that, then you really want to get the word out, and you want to use the right combination of both new media and old media. Old media is not going away. It's evolving, and certain types of media are being used more than others. But there certainly are many, many different ways you can use old traditional media to help you reach your target audiences. And then, as I mentioned, once you go through this, you want to have a way to measure the results. So have a baseline, know where you're starting, have a clear goal, because if you don't have a goal, you don't know whether or not you've ever arrived. And look at the metrics, things you can measure in between. You know, here's where we are today, here's where we'd like to be, and here's a couple of stepping stones along the way where we can check in and see, are we getting somewhere? And then what's important as a follow-up to that is you need to review your progress on a regular basis. Too many times I see either individuals or organizations set goals, say, yes, here it is, this is where we're going, and then they go through an entire program or a process, and they don't necessarily stop along the way to see, are we on the track? And if you're not, you can make a wrong turn and be way in another neighborhood and not really ever get to the destination. So you want to review your progress, see what's working and what's not working, and then tweak and update things. And perhaps you might even have to change the destination. Something may change. There may be competitive situations. The economy could change, new technology developments, whatever. Perhaps you hit your goal sooner than you thought and you want to set the bar higher. So as you go along, make sure that you understand where you're going and how close you are to meeting that. Now, some of the factors that are key for you to be successful. You really want to customize the content that you have. You can't take something that's either in the public domain or fairly well known and say, gee, I'm going to talk about this as if it's mine. You want to find something that you can own. And what I mean by own is that people can start to put your name around there and say, wow, that's the person who's talking about this particular subject. If you want to know about X, you call her. If you want to know about Y, you call him. So it's something that you start to really build a name for yourself as being the expert, the go-to person there. Again, to do that, you want to focus on differentiators, so what's different than everybody else. Sometimes you may just want to be quite contrarian and zig when they all zag and do that way. And you want to find something that appeals to the emotional side of what people are reacting to and not just having rational and logical thought, because people do react to emotions as much as logic. Now, there are a number of thought leadership tools, and I have a graph that I use in a lot of my presentations, which is a big oval with you in the middle and all kinds of marketing techniques and tools that are available to help you get the word out. Now, not all of these will be applicable to any given situation, but I'm going to go through some of these because depending on where you're at, some of these may be appropriate for you and not all of them. I would not ever suggest that you do 40 different things here to promote your thought leadership or any marketing initiative you had. But, for example, you could do a research study. You could ask customers or prospects or other people in the field to answer some questions and come up with a piece of research that you can then publish and promote and start to talk about as a definitive piece of research in the area. You can do advertorials. You know, you can put together an opinion piece that really talks about your stand on something. You can do podcasts or YouTube videos and start to really get your message out that way. You could have certainly position papers that are prepared and either printed or made available online. You can create case studies about things that you've been involved with. You can do cause marketing, so you can be involved with certain causes or worthwhile organizations and show thought leadership in that way. You can do teleseminars and webinars to get your message out. You can work with pro bono organizations. You can sponsor activities that are related to your topic of expertise. You can provide certification, so you may be the place that people go to become certified in this area, and that's different than what other people are doing. You may create a public forum where you bring additional people together and you moderate that. You become the entity that is not necessarily providing the point of view or even one of the points of view, but you're the one who brings together other key people, and you're known for that. People see that you're the place where differentiating and diverse views on this subject are being taught or being shared. And you can do some traditional things like direct marketing and brochures, obviously. And then you can use the new technology of blogs or social media, websites, online communities. And we'll talk a little bit about them in a moment. So all of those are just samples of things you can use as thought leadership tools. Now, I want to spend a moment talking about a couple of the key areas and key ways that you can get your message out. One of the first is publishing. And traditionally over the years, having a commercially published book has been kind of the gold standard. It's so much more effective to have a book that's published by Wiley or McGraw-Hill or any of the other big publishers, because that says someone else thought highly of your work and enough so that it's published and available on Amazon and bookstores, etc. However, if you're not ready to get to that point, a self-published book is still a great place to start, because that gets your message out there, and it's still published, and yes, people will see that maybe it's a publisher they've never heard of that might be your own press or a vanity press of some sort, but it's still getting your ideas out there, and it's still differentiating you from most people who don't go to that degree. Now, you can do print-on-demand, working with either a number of online services, or you can work with local printers to do that for you. You can create e-books, so you don't ever have to print a four-color cover in a fancy-bound book. You can also create booklets or case studies or articles. So there's no law that says if you don't print an entire book, then you haven't succeeded here. You can start by just a short article, a case study, a number, a position paper, and you can also start by creating information on a blog, starting to put your views out in that way. So all of those ways are very important. With the opportunities that we have today to publish, to do this kind of citizen-based journalism, so to speak, there's absolutely no reason why any of us can't be getting our ideas out there in a nice, very thorough and very professional-looking manner. So that's one area to think about. The second is speaking opportunities. And this comes in a number of different ways. Certainly there are keynotes and there are paid speaking opportunities that are available, but that's not even, I would say, the real focus of speaking when you're talking about thought leadership. You could take a speaking engagement that's a panel or a breakout or speak at a conference or a community group or an association. Here's another way that I found very effective. You can MC or moderate or facilitate a speaker engagement or a panel. I've done this on a number of occasions, and you meet some very interesting people. And if you do this effectively, you are as much a part of the activity as the speakers on the panel. In fact, you can guide and direct that particular activity and be seen as really being in the center of that topic, particularly if you ask insightful, effective questions. You can also do seminars or workshops, and you can do that for associations, for yourself, for corporations. We could talk about ways that you could use this to build your business in terms of charging, but really what I'm looking at here is ways that you get your message out and are seen as a thought leader by speaking on topics and speaking effectively. The third is just publicity in general. And this kind of ties off of the publishing, but you can contribute articles to publications. You can create a column or some kind of ongoing syndicated effort to a particular publication that reaches your audience. You can be interviewed. As I mentioned, if you conduct a survey, you can have someone who actually goes out and publishes the survey results. You can create white papers, podcasts, video, blogs, news releases, media kits, all different ways for people to get access to your information and to see you as a thought leader. Another area that you might want to think about is working pro bono. And this is really a great way to advance best practices in your trade or your profession, and to give back as well as to help your own cause here of becoming a thought leader. You can help train up and coming leaders. You can take on a worthwhile cause, but you can also be seen in a leadership position by, again, not just volunteering and joining an organization, but becoming very active, taking an active role, and being someone who really addresses the cause or furthers the mission of this particular organization if it ties into your own goals around thought leadership. Now, I want to stop at this point and talk a little bit about social media, which is kind of the huge elephant in the room. And social media includes everything from blogs to sites like Dig. Or stumble upon Facebook, Flickr, YouTube, MySpace, LinkedIn, you name it, Twitter. As soon as we define all the categories of social media, a new one will be created. And they are wonderful ways to do a lot of things. First of all, it's a great way to network and to build connections. It's also an excellent way to build an instant online presence. You can start to very easily and very inexpensively start to build a presence for yourself. But here's what you need to think about, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the good. The bad is you are what you post. And, you know, the old story about on the internet no one knows you're a dog, well, that's true only until you start to bark. And once you bark, we know you're a dog and not a duck and not necessarily a thought leader. So you need to be very careful about what you say, who you say it to, and how you say it. Now, the who you say it to is the part where people usually get a little stuck because they think they're only talking to a closed group, a LinkedIn set of networked or contacts, people that they've connected and friended on Facebook or whatever. However, the thing to remember, and this is where it gets ugly, is that the web is enduring, not endearing. And that means once something is out there, it gets forwarded, it gets passed along, privacy rules change, things that can be shared change as time goes on. So you have to presume that anything you put out on the web in a social media format can be accessed and addressed by anyone, whether it's a tweet, whether it's a posting on Facebook, a blog post, whatever. And so you need to think with your thought leadership hat on, and you need to look at the social media from that perspective so that you don't do something that really kind of shoots yourself in the foot and you say, darn, I wish I didn't do that a lot later. Now, how do you get involved with social media? You could create a blog, and certainly there are many easy ways to do that. Blogger.com, WordPress.com, or TypePad.com are three of the most simple ways to do that. You could set up a wiki. You could create a Facebook fan page for your organization or your cause, which would be different than your own Facebook personal page. You can get others to promote you by using bookmarks. Google has bookmarks. You can tag content with Delicious, Reddit, or Digit, or other ways, StumbleUpon. You can get others to promote you by creating widgets about your topical area that they may be able to then use in different areas to promote your site. You can also share your stories. You can do that through video, through YouTube or iTunes or MySpace TV or some of the other video sites. You can do that through audio podcasts, through iTunes, Podomatic. There are a number of other sites. Even WordPress has a site that allows you to put audio podcasts together and promote them like a blog. So you can have an audio blog, a video blog, basically. You can interview people. You can use this as a way to get your own thoughts out there about what's going on and what's happening. So all these are ways that you can get out there and promote yourself. Now, what I'd like to do is take a few moments to talk a little bit about my 10 tips for building thought leadership and being successful. And the first one is to know your market, as I mentioned. Who are you trying to reach? What are their key issues and concerns? What keeps them up in the future? And I know I've mentioned that before, but I keep going back to that because I see so many people who lose track of who their target audience is. The second is to stake out a position. find a topic or an issue where you or your organization can take a leadership position. And be sure you have the firepower to claim that position and defend it. And what I mean by that is don't take on an area that you really don't have a lot of background on or that there's already a contentious discussion going on in and that you might get dragged into an argument or discussion over which position is right, or an area that that really was going to require a lot of work on your part to build some competency in. So pick something where you can really be seen as an expert and a thought leader. Number three is to go where no one has gone before. Differentiate yourself. Find a niche that's not already filled. And this is where you need to look at things differently. Take a contrarian position. Again, if everyone else is zigging, think about why not zag? If everyone is talking about the importance and the absolute necessity of social media, sometimes I talk about why social media doesn't work, which doesn't mean that I think you should go back into your hole and not use social media at all. It just means that you have to set expectations and look at things a little differently. So you need to go where no one has gone before. Number four is you need to focus on value. Your viewpoint is only relevant if you can provide value to your audience. So the fact that you are an expert in a particular area is only relevant to me as a listener or a reader or a viewer if it's related to what I need to know. So make it worth my while as your audience to listen to what you have to say and to come back wanting to hear more from you. Focus on value. Number five is to get it down right, and that means to take this intellectual capital in your head and transform it into intellectual property by getting it out of your head into a format that can be easily shared with others. Now, a couple of years ago, I would have said get it out of your head and write it down, but writing is kind of a, we have to put in quotes here as a verb, because it's not necessarily writing it down, but it's getting it published in a way that's accessible. So it's not necessarily having it in a written format that is printed and produced like a book or a brochure, but it could be on a blog. It could be an interview or an audio tape that you do or a video. So in that case, we're not even writing it, but we're capturing it. But if this information's in your head, it's there and it's useful, but it's not really helping to establish you and doing you much good in terms of thought leadership. So get it down and get it out before someone else gets out there. I mean, that's the other thing is very often you have some great ideas, but if you take your time getting it out there, your competitors may come out and preempt you, and then you're second again to the marketplace, which is not where you want to be. Number six is publish or perish, which I've mentioned before. With the wide spectrum of cost-effective publishing tools, methods, and techniques that we have available today, both online and print, there is just no excuse not to publish your thoughts rapidly and regularly. So that's the thing, is to get things out there quickly while they're still timely and on a regular, ongoing basis. So make sure that you get your thoughts out there in one way or another. Number seven is, while you're doing this, while you're publishing, remember, be entertaining, not just informative. You want to capture the attention of your audience, and you want to keep them engaged. You want to avoid a long, dry discourse that just bores the people who are watching or listening. You want to be provocative. You want to be humorous. You want to be interesting, but whatever, just don't be boring, because that's, you may be seen as an expert on that topic, but it's not something that I really want to ever engage with you in, because it just doesn't seem like something that's interesting to me. Now, if you say, gee, my topic itself is kind of dry, that's absolutely true. But with the right person, you can take the most boring, dry topic in the world and make it very interesting and engaging for your audience. It's how you approach the material. It's how you approach the audience. It's using humor. It's using good techniques to keep people engaged, asking questions, answering questions, using examples and stories, all of the great ways to capture information and be engaging. So be entertaining, not just informative, and never, ever be boring. Okay, number eight, understand the landscape. So know where you tread. Understand it's very, very rare that you're going to go out into an area where no one has published or talked about this subject before. So there are other players. Understand their positions. Understand the potential issues, both with what you're saying and how it relates to others in the field, as well as talk to other people and see what they think. See what's been said about this in the media. What you find when you Google the topic. Understand where there may be hidden landmines. So where are there some topics that are ready to blow up? That doesn't necessarily mean that you should avoid all those areas, because, as I said, you don't want to be safe and boring. However, you want to know where those are. So you want to, if you're going to set off the mine, you want to know when you're doing that and not be standing on top of it. So you want to be able to predict others' reactions and be prepared for them as much as possible. Number 9 is to be proactive. Don't wait for other people to come to you. Predict the next hot issue or trend and then start talking about it now. When others catch up, you'll move on and stay ahead. So it's one thing, and you can start out by certainly commenting on an existing topic that's hot, but even more effective is to say, here's where the market's going. Here's where this issue is going to be in 6 months or a year or 2 years. Here's something people aren't thinking about now. They're so worried about the economy, they're not thinking about the fact that 2 to 5 years from now, we're going to start to see some issues because we don't have enough employees in a particular age group to continuously make our organizations effective and productive. And so we're going to have a shortage of employees, and so this is a trend we need to talk about. So I'm just kind of giving you an example here. While everyone else is busy trying to figure out about what to do with 10 or 11% unemployment, how do you look beyond that and say, here's the issue that's going to be coming further down the pike? Number 10 is use the entire toolbox. Don't focus on a single medium. Use a combination of both old and new media to reinforce your message as it's appropriate. So you want to use social media, that's great. But look at some of the existing things that can be done. You can write a newsletter. You can publish an article. You can do a news release. All of those are kind of old existing tools. Sometimes it makes sense to send something to someone in a written snail mail hard copy format, because it's easier to get their attention that way than it is through getting caught in email filters. So think about that. Use all the tools that are available to you, not just the hammer. But, you know, there's times you need the wrench or the screwdriver or the drill or whatever. And then a bonus number 11 for you is, there is no sound unless you make it. So you need to get out and you need to tell your story, tell it well, and tell it often, because no one can toot your horn as well as you can. So let me just summarize my 10 tips for building thought leadership. Number 1 is to know your market. Number 2 is to stake out a position. Number 3 is to go where no one has gone before. Number 4 is to focus on the value. Number 5 is to get it down right correctly. Number 6 is to publish or perish, and publish, we hope. Number 7 is to be entertaining, not just informative, but don't ever, ever be boring. Number 8, understand the landscape, know where you tread. Number 9, be provocative. And number 10, use the entire toolbox, don't just focus on a single activity or a tool. And then the bonus, again, there's no sound unless you make it, so you really need to get out and tell your story. So what I'd like to do now is focus a little bit on some case studies of organizations that have done effective cost leadership. And first I'm going to talk about a large insurance company that wanted to really be seen as building relationships with both financial planners and potential clients. So they really wanted to get out there and to increase advocacy among the people who recommended them to end users, and to make sure that people thought of them as a thought leader. So they needed to say something new about retirement. They went and built a custom microsite with TheEconomist.com, creating content that included white papers, audio, webcasts, other tools, and combined it with their own proprietary leadership content, and drove traffic from their website and print to this microsite. They created certain white papers that were unique content that looked kind of like an advertorial. They had inserts. They had a continuing education series, and they measured the results. The results were that 60% of the people who had participated in some of these events or had seen these things were more likely to recommend this company. And 91% who had participated in their continuing education series had a positive response to the conference. So really they had a dramatic improvement in people becoming familiar with their brand, in increasing favorability, and their feeling of advocacy. Now this is a multi-million dollar campaign, and I mentioned this, and I know most folks listening are not going to have that kind of resource. But I want to tell you what can happen on the big side. Let's talk about the small side. I have a client who is an innovative contract research medical product development company. They wanted to really be seen as a thought leader in their marketplace and a key presence to their customers, their partners, and other decision makers. They wanted to differentiate themselves from other people offering contract services because they really did a wide range of things from conceptual design through development and product launch. So what they did is they created a technical seminar series, very, very technical because their audience is extremely technical. They feature presentations on technical and scientific topics of interest to the local medical life sciences communities. Each evening includes refreshments, presentations, and networking, and it is at no charge, so they don't charge any of this. They host it at their facility, which has a very nice conference center area, and their attendance ranges from 50 to 100 people per month, and they promote that very aggressively in the local community. So the result in that increased company name recognition. It helps them attract potential clients, collaborators, and employees, generating interest in their work. And it also showcases specific expertise because sometimes some of their own people are presenters, and sometimes they bring in people outside of the community. So it's not just to sell their stuff. The employees, from an employee perspective, it allows them to recognize individual contributors. It provides an impetus for some of their scientists and engineers to write up their recent work around a theme and a narrative and to actually get this kind of exposure. And it stimulates staff discussion on these ideas, particularly when other people are brought in. The longer-term results of this, their presentations can then be taken and leveraged into a white paper that can be publicized. They repurpose the content on their website, and they create a forum for their business development group to stay in touch with strategic contacts on an ongoing basis. So if there is a company that they're targeting, they say, why don't you come to our seminar? It's the third Thursday of the month, and it's always free, et cetera. So the cost to them is very minimal. They have the facility. They have some food. They have some folks that stay late at night and set everything up. They have a projector, and that's about it. And they do, again, some mailing to a mailing list, so they maintain a mailing list, and they do some promotion around it. But it's not, as opposed to the first case, which was really almost $1 million or more advertising and media buy, this one is very, very low cost, and yet has established them as being a thought leader to their target audience. So let me just talk about one other, which is the case of a consultant who said, basically, I really want to find a way to generate value for myself while generating value for other people as well. So what he did is created a sweet spot where he says, look, I want to be able to attract resources, momentum, by showing the value that I provide, and not only is that useful for me, but showing value for other people as well. So what he does is he hosts a number of symposiums. He writes some profiles. He has some activities that he does among chief executives who are his target audience. And for each of these, what he does is has a three-column format here, which says, what's the value to me? Why am I doing this? What am I going to get out of it? You know, I want to be perceived differently. I want to learn from experts. I want to have some, you know, really detailed conversations and engagement with some executives, whatever it is. And what's the value to the others? You know, why would other people come to this? What would they get out of it? Recognition for the subject if they participate in his profiles, knowledge sharing for people who come to some of his events, et cetera, information that they need provided in a challenging and stimulating environment, for example. And then he says, what are the rewards here? You know, what are we going to get out of it? You know, we get some recognition, we get some attendance at some of these things. It's a way for it to move forward and create relationships, and perhaps there's other activities that come out of this. So it's, again, a way of looking at all of this and saying, I'm doing this for myself, I'm doing it for others, I want to be seen as a thought leader, and I want to look at some of the areas where we can be useful in both ways. So those are just some quick examples looking at a large company, a smaller company, and a consultant, and how they can use thought leadership. Now, there are some pitfalls. So let's talk just for a moment about some of the pitfalls so you can avoid these. The first is be careful not to get lost in the effort. You can spend so much time creating this thought leadership type of stuff that you don't have time to do your real business, because that's all you're doing is doing this. So this needs to be a part of what you do, and it needs to be an engagement that you're involved in, but not at the expense of your real business or your real day job. The second is don't do it alone. Don't try and do this without working with a team, engaging with people who are perhaps active in your area, working with a marketing professional to help make sure your messages are correct, because this can take a lot of time and effort if you don't think about how to do that way. The third area is to be careful of how much you give away for free, and this is one of the things that's kind of an ongoing discussion, particularly on the web where so much material is free. The first hit or the first interaction has to be free. If I don't know you, then there's no way that I'm going to pay for you without you already having that reputation, and I'm going to presume that you're not a thought leader to start with, but you're interested in building thought leadership. So you want to provide value first. You want to gain the connection. You want to build the relationship. That doesn't mean you give away all the company secrets or everything about what you do, but you consider the longer-term value of leadership. And then you provide paths to get to the paid alternative. So what's useful sometimes is to think about or to talk about what needs to be done, and that's kind of the free part. And then the how you do it is how, what we need to do is establish something, but how we do it is something that you need to find a different path to talk about. That's not going to be free. The part that we put out there is establishing the leadership position about what needs to be done. And then if you want to find out more, then there's a way for you to get into more information. So I'm not suggesting you put all of your intellectual property, all of your presentations out there for free. I know there are some people who do that, and that's certainly one option. But you need to do have enough out there to make sure that people have value for what they're doing. Finally, I want to go back to beware the danger of new media. And I've talked a little bit about social media and the idea that the web is enduring, not endearing. But one thing I want to focus on is there's this tendency to go after these bright and shiny objects and say, wow, let's go focus on that. And if you think about it, really these new technologies, these new tools become like a vehicle, sort of like a new Ferrari or new car. If you focus on the vehicle without considering the road you're on, which is the strategy, or the driver, which is the message, then you can really get into trouble. So if you think about, for example, you've got this shiny, hot sports car, but the road you're on is pretty bumpy, and perhaps it's winter and it's covered with snow and it's treacherous, not necessarily true that that's the best vehicle for you. You probably want a four-wheel drive vehicle with chains or something else that's going to be more stable. And if the driver is your 89-year-old grandmother, that's not necessarily, even the SUV may not be the right thing for her. So you need to think about the vehicle, you need to think about the strategy, and you need to think about the message, and you need to make sure those are coordinated so you have the right vehicles with the right strategy and the right messages at the right time. And that means that there's a time and a place for all of these different channels. Start with by understanding who you're trying to reach, and is that particular technique going to be effective in reaching that target audience? And if so, great, just figure out how to make it work. If not, go out and find something that really does work with them. Now, over time, we certainly have just about everybody has cell phones today. We all have email, et cetera. Eventually, we'll probably have everyone on an equivalent of social media platforms. Facebook is rapidly approaching 500 million users. That's 1 billion with a B. But there are still audiences that aren't using that today. And so you need to really be careful to know that you're using the right audience to reach the right people. Also, there are people who use things in context. So many people who have personal Facebook accounts or pages would not go there for business. And in their business lives and their business personas, They are not necessarily going to Facebook to look for messages or Twitter or other areas, etc. So you need to understand your audience in the context that they will be engaging with you. So where do you go from here? You really need to think about what kind of an action plan you put together. My suggestion is to start by identifying your audience, thinking about the areas that where you can stand out and stand above everyone else. What can you do that's going to be different? Where are you going to be in terms of what can you differentiate yourself with? And think about how thought leadership can interact with your brand. It will help build your brand. And really, the power of a brand exists in the customer's mind. So your target audience really has to believe that you can provide the value you say you can. And thought leadership can help you get there. So that's important as well to understand that. And it will help to build you a brand. It will help to make your just kind of grease the wheels for your marketing activities in general. And consider your value proposition as you do this. You know, what makes you unique? What makes the services and products that you have different from other other offerings out there? And how can you use the thought leadership platform that you're building to really differentiate yourself? And then once you get out there, this is not a static platform. This is not something where we say, hey, I'm a thought leader now. I can go focus on other things. Because this is a moving world. So you're going after a moving target. There are a lot of things that are happening. There are things that that are changing on a daily basis. You want to stay ahead of the curve. This is going to be something that's going to require ongoing engagement. However, it's important that you also think about the work that's required both to establish yourself and then how you can turn this into a benefit for you, for your organization, as you continue to drive thought leadership moving forward. So I hope this gives you some things to think about. Again, this is something that I think is important for you. And we're going to start to see more and more people differentiate themselves this way. Not everyone can be a thought leader, and not everyone will have the discipline and will have the effort and be willing to put in the time to make this happen. So thank you for joining us today, and I hope you'll be able to use thought leadership to help you stand out from the crowd. Please feel free to reach me if you have any questions. There are some articles on our website, including the 10 tips for building thought leadership, and that's Emma as in Mary for Leverage to Market, so L2MAssociates.com. And you can reach me, Linda Popke, at Linda at Popke, P-O-P-K-Y.com, and I thank you for listening.